So on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, an armistice or temporary cessation of hostilities was declared between the Allied nations and Germany in World War I, in what was then known as the Great War. In 1938, November 11th became the official federal holiday known as Armistice Day. During World War II, American soldiers and sailors saw the greatest mobilization of our nation's history. Over 16 million people went out to war. That was, at the time, it was 12% of our citizenry. During the Korean War, some 5.7 million were mobilized, really, some 5 years later. So following the Korean War, the Congress amended Armistice Day and changed it to Veterans Day. So today we now, what began as a day to remember the cessation of war, is now one that we remember those that have given their, sometimes their freedom, you know, to be in the military. You give up your freedom and the government owns you, and for a little bit of time, and different things. And so we want to give thanks. So we're going to have, the girls are going to come up here and sing it this time. So we're going to sing a song that it's the Armed Forces medley is what it is. And during this, it kind of deals with each of the branches of the military. And so if you're a veteran, and when your branch's song is that there, you know, each branch has their song. When that we get through to that chorus of that song, if you'd stand, and we might recognize those in each branch that served, and want to give thanks for that.
Always ready for the call. We place our trust in Thee. Through howling gale and shot and shell, to win the victory. Semper Paratus is our guide. Our pledge, our motto too. We're always ready to or die. I, Coast Guard, we fight for you. Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Adam, boys, give her the gun. Down we dive, spouting the flame from under. Off with one terrible roar. We live in fame or go down in flame, for nothing can stop the U.S. Air Force. Anchors away, my boys, anchors away. Farewell to college joys, sweet sail at break of day, day, day. Our last night on shore, hail to the throne. Until we meet once more, here's wishing you a happy voyage home. Over hill, over dale, we will hit the dusty trail as those caissons go rolling along. In and out, hear them shout, counter marching all about as those caissons go rolling along. Then it's high, high, he in the field artillery. Shout out your numbers loud and strong. Everywhere you go, you will always know that those caissons go rolling along. From the halls of shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles on the air, on land, and sea. First to fight for right and freedom, and to keep our honor clean. We are proud to claim the title of United States Marine. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Amen. We want to give just a token. It's a small thing here, but a gift to just recognize our veterans and give them something here. And so if you're a veteran, if you'd stand with us right now, we would appreciate it. All right. Our 33rd president, Harry S. Truman, said this: "Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices." You know, we ought to give thanks to those that, and that's what we want to do. Thanks to the Lord that we have those that are, we still have a volunteer force. Amen. We haven't even had to call up girls yet. So we get that later. We're going to have one more song, and then we'll get to the songs.
To pray, stripes that can heal, the blood that still saves, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you. Not enough time, so I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth, where the flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in a harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have given some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me under His wings. He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I can count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Let's all turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel. It's going to be in the book of 2 Samuel. Right after 1 Samuel. Chapter 23. Let's all stand. If you're able to stand with us this morning. 2 Samuel. Chapter 23, we're going to begin in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. For this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear. and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. Let's pray together as we get started with the message this morning. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for your goodness, thankful for your righteousness, thankful for your mercy. This morning we want to give thanks for your justice, how you are just. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Father, we come as a needy people. Lord, we need to hear from heaven. Lord, I pray that you would come and indwell us. Lord, pray that you would meet with us now. Pray that you would do that which we cannot do on our own. Lord, you'd speak to our hearts through your Spirit. Father, we'll give you the thanks and the praise for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. So we find David begins in some of these things, and he says what we're looking for is a just ruler. What we want is a just ruler. He that ruleth over men must be just. I can't tell you how many times I've visited with people and talking to them about the Lord and talking to them things about God, and I've been told that they do not think it's right or that it's fair that God would punish man in hell. I've talked to so many people, especially, I don't want to say they're all atheists, but some that would say there's some kind of, I'm not really sure, on this. I've talked to a lot of people about the Lord, and a lot of times I'll get this kind of idea. So I just don't think it's fair that God would punish man in hell. And you know what? What many people in our generation fail to realize is that in order to be fair or to be just, there must be a punishment. We are currently living in a generation where punishment and justice is becoming evil. We consider it, our nation is considering to prosecute crime as racist or as mean-hearted or as inequitable, right? It's interesting. We're living in a day I think that America has never lived in. We are living in the worst days of America. I think that's probably fair to say, spiritually speaking. I mean, it's, well, you weren't there in the Depression. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Some things we're living in a time that it's and so many want to look at this kind of situation and say, I think we ought to just let. I think it was in California. Maybe it's all over the place, but they made a decision. If they didn't rob over $1,000 worth, they didn't prosecute. So folks would go tally up how much they're stealing, and the criminal mind works in a way that's criminal, right? Listen, if we're going to have justice or fairness or rightness, there has to be punishment. It's just the way that it goes. It's not. Listen, there are consequences to our daily life. A life without any rules or laws is what's called chaos. And can I tell you, that is no pleasant place to be. I tell you, when I started, I was one time, we were living in Louisiana there in Lafayette area. I was pastoring a church there, and I heard, we went for a Black Friday sale at Walmart. I know, but it was a day we had just got back from the mission field, and we'd been back, and we were helping with this church, and we didn't realize things had changed a little bit. Anyway, we thought, oh, we'll get some good deals, right? So we're there, we're in Walmart. We got there early because that's what you do, and you're waiting. And they also, my wife and I were sitting there waiting, and we're waiting. It's supposed to, that when the time they pull off the covers and you get to go, and all of a sudden, I hear this noise just started getting. I mean, it sounded like one of these rockets taking off. I mean, the noise just started picking up, and I thought, what on earth's going on? And then you hear its voices, and all of a sudden you're like,
it's not good that we're here. All of a sudden, it started to be something a little crazy, and I thought, you know what? I don't need that good a deal, you know. And so, found out later it was over bed sheets. It was over bed sheets. I think a lady either got stabbed or a gun got pulled out. It was. I thought it's bed sheets. You know what I realized? I mean, I probably already knew it before. I did know it before, but I realized it in a new way. Chaos isn't a good place to be. I actually like rules. I like speed limits for other people. No, I follow them too sometimes. But I like it when people just can't do whatever they want. Do you know what I mean? I like rules. I want just. I want a ruler that is just. I mean, it's a great thing. Listen, if there's anyone's form of justice that I want, it's the one that's merciful. Amen? I want his justice. You know what? I don't want a mean tyrant to be the one. I don't want his justice. Right? I want the merciful one's just. If somebody says, well, I just don't think God's fair. Wow. You don't know him. You don't know him because his justice is merciful. Wow. Listen, Jehovah God is not some barbaric ogre that is looking to punish, harm, and devour the person that slips up in this life. Could you imagine if God was just sitting there waiting for you to make a mistake? You'd already done it. We'd be empty here. And he's just waiting to clobber us. Man, some people kind of think about God like, well, he's just, you know, he's punishing people by sending them to hell. Well, really, hell isn't as much a punishment, it's just the leftovers. You understand what I'm saying? God said, I've got something for you that's beyond anything that your imagination can even. It's called heaven. It's eternity with me. But if you'll reject that, you're going to get what Satan and his demons, what was prepared for them. This isn't, well, God said, I'm going to send you there. No, that's the only place left. We're going to spend forever somewhere. Right? Okay, no, that's a statement. We are going to spend forever somewhere. You ain't staying here. Well, it's just going to be dirt. No, it ain't just dirt. If it's just dirt, you might be like, okay, whatever, but it isn't just dirt. There's going to be, we're all going to live forever somewhere. God is the light of the morning. He's the morning with clear skies. He's tender as the springing grass in the morning dew. Man, just one. You know, I've already realized. I already knew, but I know this is where God wants me to be. I love Florida. I mean, I know this is the winter. It's whatever. I'm cold inside with the air conditioning. Now, maybe not this morning. I'm up here getting, you know, anyway. But I walk out this morning and it was hot and sultry, humid. I thought, that's nice. My wife said, oh, it's muggy out there. I said, I love it. You know, man, I just, God is the sweetness of this earth. He is the morning sun that gives us what we need, the dew. I'm telling you, listen, we? Not so much. Right? Look at verse 5. Look, verse 4 now. He says, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth, but by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and my desire, although he make it not to grow. Listen, God has shined his face upon us. He's given us salvation, even our desires. You know, God doesn't just come short by giving us what we need. He also gives us what we desire at times. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad for that? The life in Christ is not a life of what God doesn't let us have. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, Christians, we don't get to do anything. You know, it's kind of like that fence. That fence, I don't get to go out there. I have to be bound in. I don't get to go outside of that fence. And, you know, we had a dog. And that dog, he liked to stand behind the fence and be tough to the dogs outside the fence until the gate was open. And he went out there with those other tougher dogs and about died. And then he realized, I don't think he realized it because dogs aren't, but you know what, what others could realize, that fence isn't to keep us from doing life, is to keep life from doing to us, right? God is so good to us. Gives us what we need, gives us what some things, what we desire. Listen, that's the one I want to be just in all the earth. That's who I want. I want His justice. you see, but can I just say this to you this morning? Justice isn't always pretty. It's not always pretty. Listen, discipline takes pain. It really does. There's a big difference between a child raised with a timeout versus a child raised with a rod of correction. Yeah, y'all know what I mean. You know, I'm not saying nothing. I'm telling you, you see the difference. You see one that's like, whew. Yeah, you ever said, I don't know if you've ever said this. You know what that kid needs, right? You know what I mean. You know that kid needs. We've all seen that somewhere that kid needs. You know, and then you go and you see someone, that's a good boy, that's a good girl. You know, listen, there's a difference. Can I just say there's a difference? There's a difference with some discipline. There's some difference in that kind of way. Can I tell you, there's a difference between a disciplined soldier and one that is trained with a basic training stress card? They got a stress card. Now, I read about it a little bit. It's just a little bit different idea. There's a stress card. You could say, you know, it's kind of a little too much for me. I need a break. Could you imagine a stress card? I don't even know. I don't even know if it's still a true thing, but I just imagine, because I read a little bit, there is a stress card. You pull it up, it's like, you know, this is too much for me. I'm going to break. I don't know if that's funny. It is to me. I could just imagine. I mean, I just went through Air Force basic training, which was very rough. No, not really. But it's still, you know, I mean, I just say there were some stressful situations, you know, some situations that, you know, you kind of get to some of these things. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have protection from a trained soldier that's had his feelings stomped on than one that's too soft to undergo some stress. You understand? I'm thinking I would rather have the one that's kind of has some discipline is what I'm saying to you this morning is this. I don't know if you're that way, but I'm thinking, listen, justice isn't always pretty. Sometimes, though, it's downright ugly, honestly. But that's not because God is harsh or because God is mean or because God is hateful. Actually, to the contrary, justice is ugly because man is harsh, hateful, and sinful. You know, God will, at different points in history, clean up the wickedness of man. Look again here at verse 6. He says, "But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place." I'll tell you, it's a work of grace that all men, listen, what I'm saying to you this morning is this. God cleaning the wickedness at points of history. Listen, thank the Lord He doesn't do it all the time because we'd all been cleansed, right? But there's certain points in history that God cleans the wickedness, removes the wickedness from this earth as a work of grace so that we all don't become desperately wicked. You see, listen, God does. We look, well, how do you, I've heard people say, you know, how can you call that grace in people's lives being ended?
Well, you know, these are people that have rejected continually as a people, and it's all but bringing the whole world and nations and worlds to naught. Listen, we watch the erosion of our own nation, the decimation of our culture, the de-Christianization of our land. You know, were it not for grace, this nation would have never been founded. This wasn't a holy land, you understand? This wasn't a holy land that people were looking to the Lord God, and we came and messed it up. And now, by the way, when I say we, my family didn't come for many generations after it was all done. I'm just saying, when I say we, I mean as America, right? We look at what came. Listen, it's God's grace. There's a lot of justice that had to be served on this land. You say, you think all that was right? No, that's not what I'm saying. It's so much more beyond than my comprehension. You understand? God does what He does because He knows what's right. Because He's just. He's just. So, God has used the soldier throughout all generations. We find, look at verse 8 with me now. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. That had to be tough. Anyway. Son of Dodo, the Ahohite. One of the three mighty men with David. Maybe that's why he got tough. Y'all with me this morning? All right. Okay. One of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. What we find here, it's interesting, it says here, it is the Lord's victory that was won that day through the battle of the soldier. Look at now verse 11, he goes on, he says, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. And he stood up in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. So this whole chapter here, we go through it, it's a list of the names of soldiers. Mighty men that were God used to get the victory for the nation of Israel. But it was more than just for the nation. It was the Lord's victory. Now listen, folks, I'm not going to try to pretend that every battle is just. And man, we get ourselves in a lot of stuff we ought to get out of. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to make this a blanket thing that every war is. I'm trying to say there are some points. And listen, there's some points at this point in history where we found there throughout the Old Testament, God was removing those that would defile the land for the rest. So what God was doing is removing them. Some people He completely eradicated, removed them from the land because they would defile the whole world. Particularly people. Listen, from the days of Noah, God has had to cleanse this earth from the wickedness of man. We've kind of been this way a long time. You know, the folk behind us weren't any better. When I say this is the worst of America, this isn't the worst of man. Right? We're a group with a bunch of wicked people. But for grace, amen. So back there, God had to bring judgment on the whole world. The whole world. Judgment came down on them. I mean, eight people saved in that boat. The whole world washed up in water. This guy.
That was mean. Right? Because God was mean. God's mean. Look what he did. No, there was a result of man's sin and wickedness. Sometimes we just get a wrong idea about God. Listen, after the flood, God set a promise in the sky. He said this, that he'll never flood the earth like that again. You know why? Because we'd always be looking at rain. This ain't God. We deserve it. You know, there ain't no hill high enough to get away from God. And the only boat that'll save us is the one that God seals the door. You understand? And for us, it's not an ark. It's the Christ. He seals that door. I'll tell you what, this and that rainbow should be to us a reminder of God's promise, but it should also be a reminder of the utter wickedness that man can succumb to. It's a bit apropos that the group that has taken it as their symbol fit the description of the reason why God had to flood the earth in the first place. It's an amazing thing that I think that rainbow ought to remind us of how wicked man can get. I'd say today we could see that as well. I mean, listen, it's I just want to say this to us, but I want us to get this thought. God is the just one, right? God isn't doing to us. He's doing for us. It's we as, and I don't mean we as in you and I here in this room. I mean mankind. We're the ones that turn away from God and devoured the land is what we kind of see. Listen, from beyond the flood, we find God using the soldier as the instrument of justice. There have been the sons of Belial in this world through all generations. What he says there in verse 6, he calls them, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away. Not only those that are wicked of themselves, but turning others to wickedness as well. It's what we find throughout our generations. But God's justice is just. Turn over with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. In verse 8, it says, the Lord God, which gathereth the outcast of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, besides those that are gathered unto him. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour ye all the... I'm in chapter 56, sorry. Let's try that again. I'm like, that wasn't working. Okay, the other chapter. 4, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, just about the time that we think we know more than God, he reminds us that our thinking is so much lower than his. You know, we use our form and our practice of logic and rationale, how we think, and we use kind of how we think, and we attempt to use our thinking to of man to apply it to what we think God should be. Right? This is often how we are guilty. I'm talking about as humankind. We want to think of God in the way that we think of each other, the way that we think of ourselves, and we want to kind of package God into this type of thinking. And this is the way God would think. Listen, God is so much higher than us. It's almost like we ought not try to figure out what God is. We ought to just read about what he is. Amen? Listen, he didn't say, go figure out God. Hey, why don't you just, what do you think God is? I'll tell you what we get guilty of. We get guilty of creating our own God.
Now we start, maybe we start from here, and then we'll say stuff like this: I don't think God really cares about fill in the blank, whatever that is. Usually it's something that that I do care about, right? I don't think God cares about that thing. And you know, what would be good to say is, well, what has God said about that? Well, but I don't know, but I think what, you see what I'm saying? We like to take God and kind of put Him into our own logic box and kind of think about Him our own way. We want to try to figure Him out. I'm telling you, if God is so far above me for me to figure Him out. Yeah, it's like I want to bring Him down to man. Maybe just the best of men. But I want to bring Him down to something that's my level. Listen, that's not God. That's not God. I'll tell you this morning, there's many things that I think God should do in this world, and I wish He'd do them quicker. Right? But His ways are higher than my ways. I'm glad God didn't give me everything I wanted. Understand? I'm glad God did some things in my life that I didn't want Him to do, so that He brought me to the place that I needed to be. Right? You know, when I see a list of folks that are sick, I don't just see people that need to get well. I see people God's trying to do something in their life, and I think, and you know, particularly I don't know who they are. Maybe they're people that need to get saved. What would it be worth to save your soul? Right? A little bit of sickness? Tragedy? I mean, what would you lose to gain the whole world? His ways are so much higher than mine. So much higher. The Lord, but let me say this. While we're talking about God's just, I want us to not miss this part. The Lord's desire is not to rid the earth of man. Amen? Okay. He said, God just wants to get rid of all of us. No, if He did, we'd be done. Okay, that is not His desire. Listen, we have been created to be in a relationship with the Father. No, nowhere along the way does God long for or desire to destroy us. Don't let us get thinking that God just wants to destroy man and destroy sin and destroy it. No, that is not His desire at all. To the contrary, actually, His will is that none should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. That's God. That's the just one. So this invitation to come to Christ that we have, it's not new. It's not new. Look back. We're in Isaiah 55. Look at verse 1. It said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." This invitation to come to the Lord has been His plan and desire all along. God's plan has been always to invite you to be with Him. Always. It's been His plan all along before creation. God's plan was not to see you apart, not to see your life destroyed. God is not waiting to destroy. As a matter of fact, He's so long-suffering. He is so much more long-suffering than we are. To the point that we get tired of God waiting to judge, right? God, when are you going to judge? And we find that through the Old Testament. We find this thing. And God said, you know, and God is waiting because He desires every one of us to come to Him. It's not for the worthy or for the wealthy. Listen, God isn't just finding, you know who's worthy of salvation? Just me. No. Not a one of us is worthy. God isn't waiting for the worthy. He's not waiting for the wealthy. He's not, this is whoever can buy their way in. No. None of that is what He's saying here. This is an invitation for all. Yet many will spend their life unfulfilled. Look at there in verse 2. He says, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" The Lord doesn't force us. He doesn't force any one of us to repent. Not a one of us. Not a one of you has He ever forced to repent. To turn from their evil or to find... Never has God forced any one of us from turning from our hope from in this world to our hope in Him. Not one of us has He forced. But He does call out to us. It's an invitation. Some things I think maybe that we as believers, we get to know a little bit. We get to know a little some Bible. We get to know some Christianese, right? Christian language, right? Got words we use that nobody understands what they are. And except for us, and we don't really understand. We just say it a lot, so we kind of get the idea, context, you know. And we use these kind of things, and the world's out there, they just don't quite understand. They just see God is harsh. I had a dear family friend of mine say one time, said, "I don't want a God that would send people to hell." Well, there ain't no second choice. That's it. Well, I still think God is as good as He ought to be, is what they're saying. Listen, folks, God is just. And His desire is not to force you or I to come to Him. Remember, I think I talked about last week, you know, it's not a caveman approach, right? I mean, you know, can you imagine my proposal to my wife was a club? She wakes up married. Said, that's not how God does with us either. I always said, I wish I had a salvation stick. Just crack some teenagers over the head and they follow Christ. But it don't work like that, does it? You know what this thing is? God says He's calling out to us. He said, I want you to come. Hey, listen, why spend your life on that which is not bread? Why spend your life on that which will not satisfy? Why? That's what He's saying. I've got this offer for you. This is what just, I'll tell you, this is God's just. He said, listen, I've got this, just come and buy without money. I want to go to that store. Amen? Come and buy without money. You're going to get whatever. He said, listen, why are you going to go to the world and to yourself and to all that? And it's not even bread. It's not going to satisfy. It's not going to meet your need. He said, I've got something. Listen, God is calling out to us. It's an invitation for all, yet many will spend their life unfulfilled. But he calls out to us. And the rest of verse 2, he says, this, hearken diligently unto me. And eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Sure mercies of David. He says there in verse 4. He says, behold, I will give him for a witness to the people. A leader and commander to the people. God's calling us out is not only... When God called out unto you, calls out unto me, it's not just a, hey, I got this place that's got some good things and come and, you know, when I first got saved, my pastor said, come on, let's come on visitation with me. We're going to go visit this couple. I said, okay. The young couple, and I was a young man, and we were married, and I said, okay, we'll go. And He said, yeah, Tim, he just got saved. He said, tell him about it. I said, yeah, I got saved. Since I got saved, everything in my life is great now. Everything has changed. It's just wonderful. And he's like, well, hold on. I didn't really know what I was trying. I was excited. I thought that's what I was. I'm going to tell you, you know, hey, if you come to Christ, everything in your life will be good forever. Well, that's not what... That's not this book. Sometimes we start that way. But I'll tell you, sometimes there's this thing, this concept of this, we just want to talk about a little bit of word. Let me just tell you about this is going to be great. And then somebody comes, okay, I want my life to be great. And they come, and so it didn't work out quite like that. Listen, God didn't just give us, He didn't just sell us a bill of goods. Do you understand what I'm saying? God didn't just say, I've got something to provide you that's going to be great. Not only did He just say what He had, He provided. He sent and gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, through the lineage of David. This was not just for the nation of Israel. Verse 5, He says this, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee." He's talking about us. He's talking about America. He's talking about us as a people that knew not Him, and now we do. God has a plan for each of us from the beginning. And His desire is not that one should perish. Listen, folks, I'm saying to you, not one. God is not looking to flood the earth because He doesn't care and He's hateful and doesn't desire. No, His desire is that all should come to repentance. Look now again at verse 6. And we're about done here. Verse 6, He says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." God will abundantly pardon. He's calling us to Himself. Whether we find ourselves in wickedness or even just in unrighteous ways or in unrighteous thoughts, He even says here, if you'll call upon Him today, He will have mercy on you. Isn't that good news? I tell you, if you're going to get a just leader, don't you want it from somebody that's given His own Son? Don't you want justice from somebody that has mercy? Long-suffering. Wow, how would it be that we would go seek another plan? If you call on Him, He'll have mercy on you. But you must call Him while He's near. That's what He said here. Call Him while He's near. Can I say to you this morning here, I don't know, I really don't, you know, I'm trying to get to know a lot of you folks here, and I want to, and I don't even know who's members and who's visiting, to be honest with you, you know. And so some of you maybe I've seen the first time, maybe a couple times, and so here's what I want to say to you this. I don't want to make assumptions about your salvation. So if you're here this morning and you say, you know, I've been going to church a long time. I've been to church, this and that, whatever. But I don't know that I've ever really put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can I say, there's going to be no nearer time to Him. No nearer time to the Lord Jesus Christ than right here this morning in church. Well, how do I get nearer to the Lord? Well, this is His church, and He said He's going to come meet with us. Amen? So, I don't know how you can get nearer than that. Well, I could get nearer to Him anywhere, probably. But I'm telling you, this is about it. We're gathered for this purpose this morning. Wow. If this moment, this message of God's abundant pardon is tugging at your heart, I want you to come during the time of invitation. There's no better time than to accept God's invitation. You say, well, you know, listen, maybe this morning what you want to just say is, listen, I don't, you know, I think I am saved. Maybe this morning what you would say is, I just need to get back where God wants me to be. I don't know what your condition is this morning. I'm going to point folk out and say, you know, I've seen how you've been looking at me. No, not like that. God knows your heart. And you know what God's dealing with your heart about right now. If God, what I want, we're about to have the invitation just a moment here. And when we do, I want you to come and use these steps as an altar, these pews, these front pews, to come and just bow before the Lord and say, God, I want, either if you need to be saved, come and tell me. Pastor, I need to be saved. Amen? And we'll have somebody show you how you can know what it means to have eternal life. And if you say this, maybe this morning, I just need to plead with God. God, get me back to that place where I'm getting thanks for your justice. Put my trust in you. Come while he's near. Let's all stand. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, I don't know the need of all your people and all these folks that are here this morning. I don't know that need. Yet, Lord, I'm so very confident that you do know the need in each one of us. Lord, I pray that this morning we might see your justice. Lord, even as we observe our nation that seems to be eroding all around us, and the frustration, the hurt, the pain. Yet, Lord, we trust your justice. Or maybe this morning there's some here that really have never really put their trust in Christ, and they've just been maybe living religious. Maybe some folks have just been kind of waiting, checking things out and seeking, and maybe today would be that day of their salvation. Lord, I pray that you would convict and draw those hearts. And maybe this morning, Lord, there's some folks here that, Lord, you've been dealing with them about where they're at in their life. Lord, I pray this morning you'd speak to their hearts. Well, thank you for this time of invitation. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart, pray that you'd come now. So maybe you just need to say, God, I just want to be where you want me to be.